Hello there, and Happy New Year. This is episode 215 of A Sword of Star Wars podcast, and today Melody joins me to talk about the 5th anniversary of Solo, Christmas, and possibly the best Christmas gift I ever got in my life. Let's do it.
This is A Sword of Star Wars podcast.
This is where the fun begins.
Wrap it up, fuzzball.
I feel the force.
Welcome back to A Sword of Star Wars podcast, a podcast that's sort about Star Wars and sort about everything else. And today we have Melody with us. Hi, Melody.
Hi, good morning.
How have you been?
Good.
It's been a while since we did a Sword of Star Wars episode.
It has.
And you'll have to excuse my voice, please.
Yes, I will. I'll allow it.
I am sick. Deathly ill. On death's door, basically. And
you must have a cold.
Yes, I have a cold. I have a man cold. So yeah, throat lozenger in. Yeah. You call it throat lozenger or cough drop?
No, nobody calls it that. No one. It's a cough drop and it's disgusting.
It's a throat lozenger.
Smell it from... I could smell you stepping off the elevator.
Smell you. Getting off it.
That's what it is.
You've been smooching everyone lately. Okay. So, a couple things happened. Oh my goodness.
Sorry. Well, I'm clipping.
I forgive you.
Thank you.
So, like weeks ago, we were going to watch Solo.
Yes.
And do an episode on it.
Oh, yeah. We never did that, did we?
We never did.
We watched
you
Solo.
You never allowed us to. So...
Did that audio get my teeth clicking?
You're still really hot, Mel.
Thank you.
So hot.
After all these years.
I think I'm turning you down. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You're definitely bringing me down.
Oh, man. Lots of things happening.
Yes.
In my face, I mean. Yeah. Okay. So we were going to do an episode on Solo, and you just kept not letting us.
Right.
You remember like that? No, it was just that we never got around to it. It's just a busy time, you know? Yeah. And anytime that we had time, we didn't feel like doing it.
We're dressing our kids up for Spirit Week.
That was an all-consuming task.
Anytime. Any extra time we had went to that.
We were either dressing our kids or shopping for things to dress our kids up for Spirit Week.
Right.
So any other parents know the stress of Spirit Week.
Ugh.
So... maybe we'll talk about Solo a little bit because I don't think we'll ever get around to that episode.
Sure.
Also, Christmas happened.
Mm-hmm.
And we got some cool things. We got some cool gifts.
Yeah. And it's going to be a long episode.
No, we're going to keep it short.
Okay.
How'd you like Solo? It was good. Okay. Moving on. And there's something else I want to talk about, but I forget what that is at the moment. So.
Really?
Yeah.
Are you for real?
No. This, the main point of this podcast was to talk about my Christmas gift.
Okay.
So I was going to start with Solo.
Wow.
Start with Solo, move into Christmas, and then talk about the Christmas gift that you gave me.
Okay. That's a good cover up there.
It was in my head. It was tracking there. All right. So let's talk about Solo for a minute.
Okay.
So we watched Solo because almost last year now, when this episode comes out, it might be last year, was the 5th anniversary. Of Solo.
2023 was. We had all year and you waited until the last month?
Okay.
Whose fault is it?
My defense, me and Matt were also doing part one and two of Return of the Jedi because it was the 40th or something. Return of the Jedi came out in 23. Yeah. It was the 40th anniversary of Return of the Jedi and we did our part one and we still haven't done our part two yet. So, I did your Solo. Your Solo.
It is mine.
All right. So, Mel's favorite Star Wars movie is Solo.
It is. Han and Kira will be the best love story that never happened.
Yeah. Lando's Closet. Mel's favorite song.
I only yesterday found out that the name of that song is Lando's Closet.
Yeah.
And it brought it down so far in my mind.
Why? What, you think of Lando's Closet and like you picture that scene.
But come up with a more creative name than that. What a lame name to give to such an iconic piece of music. It's
barely 2 minutes long. No. No jokes. This is a family podcast.
Okay. I mean, it's so good. I love that song. And it's just like, it's so good.
I like that it's called Lando's Closet because it immediately makes me think of that scene specifically. And that's like,
even though it's used at other parts in the movie.
When he goes to hang up that cape and doesn't even care if it gets on a hook or not.
Yeah.
Oh, so good.
I remember and you I saying feel like so Han.
So Han, yeah. He does, Alden Ehrenreich did such a good job as Han, or as, yeah, as Han.
Yeah.
I'll say it a million times. People, like, gave him grief about, they should have.
He did such a good job.
CGI'd, you know, Harrison Ford. No. I'm like, no, he did such a good job.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, so that scene, Lando's Closet, I like it. If it was called Lando's Closet, parentheses, Han and Kira's love theme, would that make it any better for you?
Yeah. Okay. Slightly better. Yep.
Han and Kira, best couple in Star Wars. Oh,
so adorable.
Yeah. From the moment, like, they're together and he, like, shows her the coaxium and they kiss and whatever.
Yeah.
And then...
it's such, like, a young love story. But so, then, like, sentimental, like, youthfulness.
Yeah. And then the better part, though, is later when he finds her, or she finds him, rather, on the ship and he turns around and
that
she's
song
there.
Immediately plays.
So good.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we like Solo.
Yeah. Also, Kira never kissed her brother. So she's about 10 points.
She has over Leia.
10. Come on.
Somehow Leia's always known, though, that Luke was her brother.
She's always known. She just didn't care. She's like, you know what? Let me just try it. Maybe I'm wrong. it's worth it if I'm wrong.
Right.
Like, what is she thinking?
She's like, it's possible these are the last two guys I ever see in the galaxy. Try to make it work with one of them. Even if he is my brother. What is your favorite part in Solo?
Yeah, I really like that part on the ship when they reconnect. Mostly because you can see her facade, like, immediately drop.
Right.
Like, she's just as excited to see. I mean, she definitely controls herself. Like,
right.
She has to. It's so, like, I just love seeing her face light up, and, like, you can tell that she's just as excited as he is. He just doesn't have to hold, or he doesn't think he has to hold back or control himself.
Right.
Because
he's unaware of the situation that she's in.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
But
I mean, the closet scene is, of course, great too, but, like,
too short.
Yes. It's always disappointing because I know that's as far as it gets.
Right.
Like, they don't end up together. And
yeah. Which is sad.
Yes.
But they left it so open for another story.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted more.
Yeah.
But they didn't really leave Han's end open or the Han and Kira end open.
Wow.
They just left Kira's end open.
Right. Yes.
So we know that.
And I honestly, and probably my, like, runner up favorite scene is the end fight scene between her and Han. And, well, it's really her and Han against. Come on. Don't make me struggle. What's his name?
I can't remember his name. Or Vision.
Oh, I almost
That's
had
what you're talking about, right?
Yes. Yeah. Oh, man.
Man.
Vaiden Dross.
Dryden Voss. Yeah.
Vaiden Dross.
Yeah, yeah, you got
Vaiden
it.
Dross.
You helped me a lot with that.
I'm so dyslexic.
Your memory is dyslexic?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, Dryden Voss.
Yep. Yes.
The three, or yeah, that like three person, whatever. I mean, it's, I guess it starts off with more, but quickly goes into just the three of them.
Right.
And to see her, like, still at that point, like, I think at that point she definitely, like, knew her game plan to leave Han.
Yeah.
But she still didn't, like, try to kill him.
Right.
You know, she let him go. So you can tell that she still loves him.
Yeah. He's her lobster.
Yes. And just, like, how she just, like, kicks butt.
Right.
But
what a weird choice of weapon, right? I mean, it's not her weapon. She takes it from somebody else. But it's like a sword. That has no blade. It's just pointy.
That's right. Well, doesn't she?
Yeah. She stabbed. Well, she
is it like her necklace or her? I feel like it was like some kind of jewelry on her or something, wasn't it? Or did she take it from one of the guards?
Her sword?
Yeah, the weapon that
she
has.
She takes it from the guard, or she takes it from one of the artifacts around the room.
I forget. Oh, that might
but
have
then,
been. Yes.
Because it's like split at the end, she's able to take Dryden's like Vira blade.
Yes.
And like stab him with
it. Oh my word. Such a cool scene.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like when earlier in the movie when they're at that salt mine.
Yes.
Not salt mine. Yeah. Spice mine.
Yeah.
Me.
Yeah.
And she like goes into that room.
Yeah.
And like beats up the guy and you don't get to see anything.
Right.
Like, oh, I want to see what she did.
Yes.
And then you kind of get to see it later.
Yeah.
So. But Dryden's the one that taught her. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She just reminds, like, it's such like a Daenerys. Stormborn kind
of
scene.
Queen of dragons, mother of dragons, mother of pearl.
She's so like petite and could come off like so. I feel like her character could be played as such like a typical like weak female character, and in like most of the roles that she plays, I think that's I really like her because of that. Like she could so easily be cast in a typical. Weaker kind of role, but they put her in these roles, even looking the way she does, and they give her these characters that I think are, or she chooses them, I'm sure, but like, to intentionally get those kind of roles where you're, I don't know, she just is so much cooler,
yes,
than some female actresses get stuck with.
Yeah.
So I think that's awesome. It like, I mean, I've no idea what she is like in real life, but
yeah, I mean,
it like makes me think, man, she's so cool. And all I have to go off of is these fake characters that she plays, you know.
Right. It's interesting that at the end she chooses Maul, or what's the name of the what's her brand?
Crimson Dawn
over Han. Like,
yeah.
She kills Voss.
Yeah.
Why does she choose, like, power over love?
Because that's the more... It's the stronger thing to do. I mean, I mean, of course, like, I get disappointed with that ending, but also I'm like, it's kind of, like, admirable in some ways. That's not the typical female response.
Yeah.
And so I like that they did something different with that. I think that's... That would be not questioned at all if it were the other way around.
Well, I feel like Han the whole time is doing the whole thing for love.
Right, I know. Yeah. Right, their roles are very much switched in this movie. I'm saying like in another, like in, I guess in Star Wars you could say that Anakin did all of it for Padme.
Yeah.
But really he destroyed everything.
Well, yeah. Like, but it was to save his mom and then to save Padme.
Yes, yeah. So whether that was his ultimate motive, I mean, could be, I guess, defended in some ways.
Yeah.
But could also be like, okay, he didn't care at all about that. All he wanted was power in the end. And so that's what he just destroyed everything to get that. I think that's the typical storyline for movies like that. Where a male is trying to achieve power and he doesn't care what relationships he destroys in the process.
Huh. Interesting. The part knowing the rest of the story, the part where he gets through at the airport and she doesn't, knowing that like he's like banging on the wall, you know, and he's like screaming.
Yeah.
And like knowing that because of that little tiny thing that happened that they would never be together.
I know. I thought about that like, when we watched that again this time.
Hard to watch that.
Yeah, I agree. When you know the like pivotal moment.
Right.
And you're like, why does he not just shove her through first? Like, but it wouldn't. Yeah. It's like a stupid thing because then you're like, oh, well, then the movie wouldn't exist.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
I would say, oh man, I'm going to sneeze.
Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't let those demons out. Oh, that's even worse. You just
I lost it.
Swallowed it.
And swallow it. It's still in my face somewhere. Begging to come out. I'm going to be fighting this sneeze for the rest of the episode. My eyes are watering.
Oh, no.
Oh.
I know. It's an emotional love story, it really is.
Yeah. I mean, of course, they couldn't end up together, so Kira has to choose Crimson Dawn over Han because that's how the story is. Or she has to die. Those are, like, the options.
Yeah.
I'm glad that they didn't have her die, but I'm wanting so bad to find out where her story goes.
I am still holding out hope.
Yeah, and they could do that without if the pushback on the movie was Alden Ehrenreich's portrayal of Han Solo, which I think is stupid. But if that's like the pushback.
Is that the pushback?
I feel like that got a lot of like
negativity. Don't follow the same circles that you do with that kind of stuff, I know. But like I just don't understand what people could take issue with. It doesn't make sense to me. But
Yeah,
I know that you follow those circles a little bit more than I do, so I believe you. I just am annoyed that that would hold them back from my satisfaction of having a sequel.
I feel like now people don't see it as much that way, but when it came out, I feel like people were like, that's not my Han Solo, you know, that kind of dumb stuff. And well, where's it going with that? Oh, but they could so easily continue Kira's story.
Yeah.
Without Han's over on Tatooine with Jabba the Hutt.
Yeah.
So I wish they would continue that because people like Maul and I feel like people liked Kira.
Yeah.
But
maybe
I don't know.
They will. I don't know.
But I like how the movie shows so well how much Han is hurt by that.
Yeah.
Watching her like sail away on the barge or the whatever.
It definitely makes sense for how his character develops in the future.
Right.
The way that he's very hardened
to
Leia and like is not looking for love at all.
Just money.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what was the thing? He wants to be a bad guy.
Yeah.
Right. And he says, I'm not the good guy. And Kira's like assuring him that he is the good guy.
Yeah.
And that she says she's the bad guy.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, you wouldn't want me if you knew how the things I've done.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But yeah. So in the end, Han is a good guy.
Mm-hmm.
But he tries really hard to be a bad guy. And especially after, or tries really hard to be a bad guy. Even especially after he's betrayed by Kira.
Yeah.
Or left by Kira.
Yeah.
So. But yeah, such a good movie.
So good.
The score is great.
Yes. So who did John? No, you said John Williams did not. John Powell did that one.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
That was not on his list of movies that I was looking at last night, ironically.
I'm almost positive. I know that. Yeah. John Powell did it. And I think it says something. I mix up Rogue One and Solo because neither of them were John Williams, but both of them I thought did such a good job.
Oh yeah, it is here on his list.
Of making it sound like John Williams, but making it different to the movies.
Mm-hmm.
Like, think of Rogue One. There's some hints I think throughout the soundtrack of the original Star Wars music.
Yeah,
but it's you wouldn't know by listening to it. You wouldn't think that it's not John Williams.
Right, right.
But it doesn't have those like familiar sounds of, so I don't know, it's just I thought both movies did a good job of making it sound like John Williams but being its own thing.
Yeah
And one of them, I think in the credits or at the beginning, it says like music or score by John Williams or John Powell inspired by John Williams or something to that extent. I think it's either
maybe
Rogue
he
One,
took parts of it initially or something.
Yeah
Parts of some John Williams stuff or something.
The thing I don't like about Solo, the word that makes it, I'm like, oh, this movie is so dark. Like, colors are always so extreme. Like, the blues, like the dark blues.
Especially in the beginning.
Yeah. They're like, it's like hard to see.
Yes.
I'm like, does my screen go any brighter than this? But
I think that some, like, I think that there's something to that being purposely done as well.
Yeah.
Because, like, I think, like, some of the first, like, nice, bright scenes that you see are when he meets Kira again on that ship. Like from then on, I feel like it stays pretty well lit, or like naturally lit, I should say, versus like, before that, it seems like, and I think that's probably
purposeful.
Purposeful. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure it is. And of course, Donald Glover did such a good job as Lando.
Oh my word. Yes.
And L3 is a pretty fun droid.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that was cool to see why the Millennium Falcon is such a good ship, because it's got L3 in it as, you know, has the best star charts and whatever. Yeah. I don't know.
Navigation system in the galaxy.
Yeah. But
anyway.
So that's our solo appreciation portion.
Yep. Yep.
Christmas happened.
Yes.
We did watch a couple Christmas movies. Not a lot. We watched Love Actually.
Mm-hmm.
Was that it? It's a Wonderful Life we watched on Christmas Day.
We watched Jingle All the Way.
Jingle All the Way we watched after Christmas.
No.
Okay.
The day of Christmas, I think.
Oh, okay.
Or Christmas Eve.
I'm not sure. Well, we didn't watch
Christmas Eve because I was making cinnamon rolls.
Okay.
Yeah.
I feel like we didn't watch as many as we usually do. Mm-hmm. For some reason, it just felt like either we had other priorities or we were too busy. I don't know what, but
yeah. I mean, Apex
cuts
into our movie watching time.
Yeah, it really does. but yeah.
Yeah, I'm not like a huge, I think you've always kind of known this about me, maybe. I am not a big like Christmas spirit person. I enjoy Christmas, but like all the Christmas songs and all the Christmas movies, it's not like something like, oh, I have to do all of this. Like,
yeah,
I'm not big on decorating. It's not, I don't know. And it's not like it makes it any less special for me.
Right.
But I know that like when we first like started, well, probably not until we got married, that I was like, oh man, like I enjoy Christmas songs now a little bit, like, and I think that's kind of grown a little bit, but, yeah. So like when you're like, oh, like we didn't watch any like Christmas movies this year, I'm kind of like, okay, like, does that matter?
Like, well, it's like, when are you going to watch them other than this time of the year?
I guess.
Like, you're not going to watch White Christmas in July.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I don't know. It just is like not, it's so like insignificant in my mind.
Yeah.
But I also don't really love rewatching movies a lot either.
Right.
So anyway.
Yeah. So we were going to try and go somewhere between Christmas and New Year's. go to a cabin. And the kids had off school and you were going to take the kids up for a couple of days and I was going to join you for a long weekend.
Yeah, we thought it would work well if I went up with the kids for like during the week while you were working, and then you could maybe come up with some other friends that weekend.
Right. So
so that we could celebrate New Year's there. And yeah.
So I invited some friends.
Mm-hmm.
And our friends couldn't make it. Right.
I don't think we even gave them that.
Yeah, we invited them through a text. And I gave them all the information, and you and I had talked about several times about like who we want to invite and if it's all going to work out for us to go up there. Yeah. And then as soon as we invite our friends in this text group, Mel responds in this text group and says, oh, never mind. I forgot I have something planned for Ryan on Friday before New Year's. So we can't do it anyways.
Yeah.
And then our friends are like, okay, well, we can't come anyways. So that's a good out for us.
Yeah.
And then I was like, well, what's this surprise? It wasn't on the calendar. Mel had hidden it from me. And so she made me, this was like weeks before Christmas.
Yeah.
And then you made me wait till Christmas Day to find out what the surprise was.
Oh, well, yeah.
And as a gift you gave me, do you want to say? I'll say it. she gave me tickets. So starting in September. So September.
You think I give too much backstory?
No, she gave me two tickets to go see the Lancaster Symphony Orchestra play John Williams music.
Yeah. I saw an ad on Facebook for it. Mm. And this is not an ad for Facebook or for Facebook ads.
Yeah.
But I saw an ad on Facebook for it. And I seriously like researched it because I thought it was going to be like a scam or a fake or something. I'd never heard of Lancaster Symphony Orchestra. Mm. I didn't know our town had an orchestra.
Right.
And I was like, what are the chances? Like Ryan, like, I mean, I guess I'm obviously more people know about John Williams than I do or than I thought. I mean, but like, I was like, what an obscure thing. What are the chances that our town would have a symphony orchestra that they would be playing John Williams music right at Christmas time?
Right.
Like how it just like all the stars aligned.
Yeah.
I was like, oh my word, this is the best. This is going to be so up Ryan's alley.
Yeah.
And you just hated it. So see if I ever make something like that happen again.
Okay.
I had to pull so many strings to line all that up.
Yeah. So obviously, I'm terrible at accepting gifts because Mel didn't even think that I liked it. But
I mean, sorry, it wasn't a White Christmas play.
Yeah, like, I was making guesses as to what it was.
A few days before, we were driving back from somewhere, and you thought, or you had said something to the effect of, like, that you think you had it figured out.
Right.
But you knew that Matt was involved somehow, your brother, right. Matt.
That was the thing that threw me off. Yeah,
and you said you couldn't figure out how Matt would be connected, and I was like, okay, well, if you don't know how Matt's connected, then you don't know what it is, because that would be extremely obvious.
Yeah.
So, but then you went off to say, like, if you know me, you would know that I...
Well, okay, so I was going to write down what I thought it was.
Yeah.
And then after you gave it to me, I was going to show you to see if I was right or not.
Yeah.
And so I went, but then you're like, just tell me because I don't think you know what it is.
Yeah.
And so I explained why I thought what I thought it was. I thought we were going to go see White Christmas at, like, a local theater. One, because you didn't even mention us watching White Christmas, and we always watch White Christmas. And,
but you also know that I don't care about Christmas movies.
Well, you know that I like White Christmas.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then, it was something without the kids, but it wasn't an overnight thing. So we weren't going away. Mm-hmm. So it couldn't have been that far. Mm-hmm. And also, I was afraid that it was a concert of some sort.
Yeah.
But I'm like, I hope that Melody knows that I don't want to stand at a concert for 3 hours in a group of, 2,000 people. And so all those things led me to think that I'm sitting watching something close by.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, we always have, like, American Music Theater or Fulton is putting on White Christmas.
Yeah.
But I'm like, I'm not going to go look to see if any of those places are doing anything like that.
That was a good idea.
But I was close.
Yeah.
But you told me I was wrong. But it was close.
Yeah.
And so we got to sit. It just
validated that I know you better than you think I do.
No, I didn't say that.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah, I ran the risk of it being a concert.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, I know Emery's not in town. Who else would she think that I would want to go see in
probably
concert?
Probably what you would figure was like, oh, an Emery concert.
Yeah. So.
Nope.
Yeah. So, yeah, it was great. We went last night to go watch it.
Yep.
And my brother Matt, who is probably the biggest John Williams fan that I know personally, because we had done a podcast last year or something like that, where we did John Williams, our favorite John Williams works by decade.
Yeah.
I think so.
Was it just last year?
Yeah, I think so. Okay. And it was maybe 2 years ago. I forget. Oh, it was when they were doing our basement because we recorded in our bedroom.
Oh, really?
I remember that. Yeah. It was very close.
So that was 3 years ago.
Okay. Wow. This podcast has been on for years.
Yeah.
Can you believe that?
That's hard to believe.
Yeah. A couple months, it'll be 6 years since I started this podcast.
Wow.
And so we went last night to go see it. And I got my tux on. And
how glad were you that you didn't have to dress up?
It was happening at a local high school.
Mm-hmm. Or school. Like a very nice high school.
Yeah, but their auditorium wasn't bigger than our high school's auditorium.
No, you're right. It was smaller.
Which was actually good, I thought. It was a lot less people than I expected. Yeah. But it was still really nice. You could be a lot
closer than I expected. Right. I felt like those seats were really good.
Yeah.
I had no idea what to pick when I was choosing seats. Like, I mean, I got them back in September, so there was, like, plenty of seats open.
Yeah.
But I was like, I don't know. I went off of, like, what you typically choose for movie theater seating, because I was like, I know he doesn't like to be down close to the front. And I don't want to be really high up on the, like,
mezzanine
or whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah, I thought it was a really good spot.
Yeah.
Very crowded because it was sold out. All four of their shows for this were sold out.
Yeah.
They even got enough requests that they started selling tickets for the rehearsals.
Right. Right.
But yeah, so it was an excellent show, I thought.
Yeah. And I've never gone to see an orchestra play
right?
Like, I was thinking, like, have I ever heard, like, live orchestra music other than, like, in high school,
right?
Like, listen to high school
orchestra
plays, and we would hear that.
Yeah.
But
I don't think I ever go to, like,
Long's Park, and they would have orchestras play, you know, for, like, the fireworks show.
Oh yeah,
they always have a full orchestra up there. Or the summer concerts, we might have gone to one or two of those, but they had an orchestra play.
I don't feel like I ever experienced something like what we
watched
last night. And like I wouldn't have called those other. Yeah. Like, when you're saying that, I'm like, oh, yeah, I guess we would have listened to orchestra music before. live, but it didn't feel the same as this. Not just right, not because of the music,
right?
But because of the setting.
Right, you're not like there to see that,
right?
You know, like we went there to watch the orchestra play.
Yeah, and it was very much like everything was set up to fully experience like the music,
right?
Yeah, which is weird because like we've talked about like I'm not a big like John Williams fan, I wouldn't say, but I have always said like I would love to go to a Disney version of that, right. Like
yeah,
just to, there's something so weird, I don't understand how it works or why it works this way, but there's something very emotional about like hearing and seeing that music, like even just hearing it recorded you feel like emotion, but seeing it live is like, oh my word, it's so weird,
yeah,
how that works. I don't understand it at all. Like someone is playing an instrument and it is making me feel an emotion,
right?
Like so strongly that I had to like fight back tears. Like that is right. That is really weird that my body can have a physical reaction to a musical instrument being played.
I feel yeah. like I mean the emotions that you're feeling are because you know the music, right?
Mm-mm.
You don't
Mm-mm.
think so?
Mm-mm.
Like if they played all, I don't know, Hans Bronson, I don't know, some other guy, Hans Zimmer, like Tchaikovsky, like you might know one of the songs, but they wouldn't move you like you want to go see a Disney one because you'll hear the full orchestra play Colors of the Wind, even though right. no one's singing, you'll sing it in your head and you'll think, oh, I remember, you know, when I saw this movie when I was a kid, and I love this movie. And
I could see that some people would have that connection with it also. I don't feel that. Like, there was songs last night that I did not know
yeah.
that I felt just as much, like, emotion at. And it's like a, it's almost like my mind was, like, creating a visual while it was happening. And something in particular about the violins all together.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think I could hear that in any song, like the buildup of all of them together and like those, it's like they create a climax of music.
Right.
And so in my mind, it creates this like climactic scene of something, but there's like I can't like, it's not like I can describe an actual visual of it, but there's like something in my head that like creates this like climactic movie scene almost,
right.
But it's done by the music.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like this emotional, like my body's like saying like, oh, you're watching something climactic happen, so you're right. going to have an emotional reaction, but it's not, there's nothing visually there.
Right.
It's, but I've experienced that in other songs too. Like I said, that like, I didn't even know, like the Cowboys one.
Yeah.
I think that happened once or twice. And even the like Jurassic Park, I've, no emotional connection to Jurassic Park whatsoever.
Right.
But that song, mm-hmm. oh my goodness, like the violins in that song, it just like, it gets me every time. And I'm like, I have nothing to, like, there's no right. actual connection with this movie.
Right.
So I don't know. Maybe that's just me. I think probably other people experience it that way too. But I could see in particular for you. And yes, I think if I went to a Disney one that I already knew the music for, or Pride and Prejudice or things like that, they're definitely like, I think that makes it that much stronger.
Right.
But yeah.
The one thing that I've been wanting to try and see for a while is they do something similar to this,
mm-hmm.
but they show a movie.
Yes.
And they just do the score the entire time. There's no dialogue from the movie.
Mm-hmm.
They just show the movie while the orchestra is doing the score.
Yeah. I think they do the Lord of the Rings one, right?
Yeah, they do Star Wars.
Some. Oh, do they?
Okay. Our friend Dan said when he went and saw, it was like a video game. It was like Zelda or something. I don't know. I forget what it was exactly. But like they like showed stuff and like he, and they played the music.
Yeah.
I forget what it was that he saw. But at first I was like, oh, maybe this is that.
Yeah, I had no idea if it was showing that or not.
Like, scenes from the movies while they're playing the music. And I think that would be cool, but it would also take away from the orchestra.
Yeah.
Like, I was glad that didn't happen so that I could really focus on, like, oh, where's that sound coming from?
Yeah.
Like, can I pick out, like, what are these guys doing over here? And like, anyways, like, what's the instrument that's making this noise?
Yes. That was one of the coolest parts that I did not expect to be so, like, infatuated with.
Right.
Like, it was like, oh my word. Like, it's like, I think I described it last night as like, it would be like hearing somebody talk without ever seeing them. Like over and over and over again, like you're like so familiar with this person's voice, but you've never seen their face. And then you finally go into like a group of people and they're all talking and you hear that one voice. And you're like, oh,
yeah,
that's that person's face. Right, like right. It's like a totally different like experience to see someone. And especially with things that are so familiar. Like I know what a flute sounds like, but I never associated that with the song when I heard the song.
Right.
Like same with the violins or the xylophone.
Yeah, whatever that is. Yeah.
Like there were so many things that I was like, oh, it's so simple. Like in hindsight, of course that's a flute.
Right.
But when you're listening to it, you don't think about it. And when you see it, then you're like, oh, like I can see it's very cool. It sounds so like nerdy and stupid to talk about it like that. But I'm like, it's so cool to see all those moving parts create this thing that you're so familiar with.
Yeah. So here's the song list. And I would say, well, I'll just say it here. So, Superman March, Across the Stars, the Star Wars main theme, Cowboys Overture, main theme from Schindler's List, E.T.
They also played Jaws.
Yeah, they played Jaws in there, in that first section. And then in the second half, they did the Raiders March, Victor's Tale from the Terminal, Jurassic Park theme. Theme from Fablemans, which is a movie that I never even heard of.
Yeah, that kind of made me want to watch that.
Yeah. The Olympic Spirit. And I knew he had done the Olympic theme, but this was even different than the Olympic theme.
Yeah, I didn't know. Does he do all the Olympic songs? I guess
that's what the conductor. Conductor?
Yeah, he said he's always writing for the Olympics. I don't know if that's like, that seems like a very, I'm surprised that the United States has the only conductor for the Olympics.
Composer?
Yeah.
Oh.
Like,
yeah, I don't know.
Maybe each country writes something. I don't know.
If you're watching it in, you know, another country, maybe they don't play them that same music.
That's
there.
True. That could be. I don't know.
And then the Chairman's Waltz from Memoirs of a Geisha, which I never saw.
Yeah.
Maybe. And then they ended with Harry Potter, Harry's Wondrous World.
And then they
encored with the Imperial March.
Yes.
So out of all those songs, only three Star Wars.
Yeah. I mean, yes, only three Star Wars, but also I thought it was good because I honestly, like, I knew just from hearing you talk a little bit about John Williams that he wrote a lot other stuff, but I didn't realize how much other stuff and how famous his other works were.
Oh yeah.
Like very like E.T. was a huge movie for that generation.
Right.
Same with Jurassic Park and
Schindler's List.
Yeah. Well, the guy that was sitting next to me, apparently, like, I've never even seen that movie, but he said it's like a 60-year-old dad who's like, man, I almost cried during that song. And I was like, oh, and he was like, have you ever seen that movie? Like, you could tell that it obviously meant a lot to him. And I think a lot of people, because based on certain reactions in the room, especially after that song, like I heard somebody yell after that song before everybody started clapping. Right. Somebody yelled like, "Yes,
yeah,
like,
yeah." And that was one that I've never seen it, and
yeah,
I don't know much about it, but I feel like it's one of those movies that's like really good, but it's not one that like when you're done with it, you're like, "Oh, I want to watch that again." Mm-hmm. And, like, it's not like an adventure,
right?
Movie. So I think it's just like,
isn't Schindler's List like based in World War II Germany?
I was gonna say it has something to do with the Jews in some time period.
Yeah, and I think it focuses around a violinist.
Oh, is it? Yeah, I don't have a clue. Think,
I'm not positive, but I'm pretty sure.
But listening to that song, I'm like, yeah, oh, I want to go watch this movie to see where this song takes place in the movie.
It, like, again, like, I did not know that song at all, and it created so much like emotion.
Yeah,
from an instrument.
Right.
That is so. It's such a bizarre connection to me.
Yeah, and it was nice. Like, I didn't know some of these at all. Like, I saw The Terminal. I didn't remember the music from it.
Yeah.
I didn't see Memoirs of a Geisha, but like hearing those songs and hearing different styles, kind of, but also being the same composer and the same, you still get the same style.
Yeah.
But the Cowboys,
yeah,
that was I don't know. That's an old 1972. That movie came out.
Yeah, I think he said that was one. That was his first major like movie score. I think he said he did some like TV stuff before that, but that okay. was his first.
He has a John Wayne movie.
Yes,
he had done Fiddler on the Roof. Like he didn't. I don't think he composed. He arranged it or something.
Yeah, he got like, and he said he got some kind of award for an. I don't know if it was a original remake. Is that a thing? Like his adaptation. That's what it was. Okay. Adaptation.
Yeah. So, but yeah, the Cowboys, it was actually really good. Like I really enjoyed that song and it was a long one too. And I was like, it went so many different variations of styles. I felt like in one song, cause partway through Alien Dover, I'm like, this is still the same song from the beginning when it was like very like Western cowboy at the beginning. And then at one point it sounded like Mario. And then, you know, it was just like,
I loved that, like that song in particular, I could see like in my head what was going on was like a movie intro. And they were like, I was just imagining like cowboys riding it. Like the beginning of the song is very like Western, like sounds like an old Western cowboy theme song. And then it was like, it's almost like the Full House theme, you know, where like people like they're introducing each character, you know?
Okay. Yeah.
And like each character has their own little like theme within this song. That's how I looked at it in my mind, or how it felt like that. So each of those little like the comical movie or Mario theme song part or whatever was like a goofy character, you know, and it made sense because the conductor said that he wrote the song for Gilligan's Island too, right?
Yeah.
So it was the same kind of thing. Oh, I thought that was ironic because I think that he said that after the Cowboys song. But I was like, oh, like I could totally see the same thing with that song where like introducing certain characters, you would have a different mini theme within that song, within that theme song.
Yeah.
And that's definitely how I looked at that Cowboys song, why it was so diverse was probably because like, oh, they're hitting on different personalities within this song. So
like after they played Across the Stars, I was like, I could watch like them play all the Star Wars music like for the next 2 hours.
Yeah,
like I could, instead of these other songs, like I love Jurassic Park and Raiders and stuff,
yeah,
like I could just watch Star Wars and play Star Wars. But I'm also glad that it wasn't just Star Wars,
yeah,
because we got to experience some of the other ones too. Especially I'm not a huge Harry Potter fan, but I think I love the music in it.
Yeah.
And Jurassic Park, I'm a pretty big fan of Jurassic Park. And then that was the one where I leaned over and I'm like, this is just a movie about dinosaurs. Like, why am I like emotional listening to this?
I could see you like, I think it was probably only like 10 seconds into the song. Whenever they hit that first, like, is it a crescendo?
Maybe.
I don't know what the parts of the music are. Basically, like the first buildup.
Yeah.
And I could see you look down at your arm and I was like, oh, yeah, he's got chills. Yeah. I know it.
Yeah. It was so good.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was a really fun experience. I think my favorite part was just watching the people, like especially the percussionists. I don't know.
Oh, my goodness. Like, they were so busy.
Yeah. It's like three guys, and between the three of them, they're playing two different types of xylophones. They're not xylophones, but they're something like
that. Right, right.
And like the xylophone has like the like bells hanging underneath, like the chimes hanging underneath it. And then there was like the huge bass drum. And then there
multiple
was the gong.
Cymbals.
Yeah, and they each did cymbals.
Snare drum, I saw.
Yeah, and they're like going from one to the next. Like they're changing like
they even,
six or seven times throughout the same song.
I saw them even like switching like for a little while, like the one guy was only playing the snare drum and I thought, oh, that must be the guy that plays the snare drum. And then a little bit later in a different song, I saw one of the other, like he had switched with the other percussionist. I'm like, man, what, like I can't even imagine that, like switching between instruments and different parts and stuff. Like they have to be so on the ball, like
and they're
like, just crazy to me.
Playing the triangle, like, you're like, what is that noise? And then you look over and this guy's like going hard on the triangle. Like,
yeah.
I'm like, oh my goodness. Like normally a triangle you think of as like as a ding type of thing.
Yeah.
But like,
That's what I meant by like the usage of instruments that it doesn't even, like the harp.
Yeah.
I would never would have told you that there was a harp in any of John Williams' music.
Right.
Like there's a harp in Star Wars music. That's so like, that seems so obscure to me.
Yeah.
But there were some parts that were like, such like iconic parts of the songs, and I can't remember now which ones it was, but I was like, oh, that's a harp.
Right.
Like, that makes sense now. But it's It makes me wonder how people who actually know this stuff feel when they watch these movies. Like, do they hear all of that? I'm sure they do. But yeah, I don't know. It's weird.
The other thing that kind of I couldn't stop thinking about throughout the whole thing was, like, there's this group of people. I don't know. How many people are in the orchestra? 40?
Oh, more than that. There was 10 in each of the violin groups.
Okay.
I would say probably closer to 75.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
75?
Like I said, there was at least...
And we could count.
At least, yeah. Count the...
Well, it doesn't really matter. I don't really... Yeah. That's not where I'm going with this.
Okay, yeah.
But I don't want you looking at that, so you can listen to me. What I'm saying is really important.
Okay.
Please don't look at that. So what I was thinking throughout the whole thing, you have all these people ranging from looks like maybe people in their 20s to people in their 60s,
at
70s
least.
Maybe. Yeah. And they're all here playing this music, not because they're in high school learning an instrument, trying to get college credit, or because their parents wanted them to. Mm-hmm. They're not here for a paycheck. You know what I mean? This is the Leicester Symphony Orchestra.
Yeah.
Like, if they get paid, it's not much, I'm sure. And they probably all have other jobs. So, like, to have jobs and then have a hobby that is this, like, intense.
Yeah.
Like, at some points, that one person is the only one making noise. Mm-hmm. And, like, they cannot mess up that part.
Right.
And, like, all these people are doing it because they enjoy playing these instruments.
Yeah.
Like, that's, like, something that's, like, strange to me, that, like, all these different people and with their different actual jobs are playing these instruments at this concert because they like playing the instrument. Mm-hmm. I'm like, who's like, oh, I cannot wait to play the bassoon. You know what I mean? It's just like people like the guitar
to their
or the
hobby.
Piano or, you know, but like to be like, oh, I play the piccolo in Leicester Symphony Orchestra. Like that's such like a, like you have to practice a lot.
Yeah.
And I don't know, it takes a lot of dedication. I mean, these people are doing it just because they love playing their instrument.
Yeah.
And there's probably not a lot of people in Lancaster that play that instrument.
Right.
And I don't know. It's just like, I was surprised by how many people there were that could play the instruments that well.
Yes.
That are normal people. You know, they're not, this isn't their career.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You think of some orchestras, like the London Symphony Orchestra, that's probably their career. You know, that's like, they play violin full time and they travel around the world or wherever. Yeah. Or they constantly put on concerts.
Yeah.
But here in Lancaster, that's not, I'm sure that's not the case.
Yeah, I don't know how that works. I did, like, I was briefly reading the bio on the conductor, and it sounded like he's done, like, he has conducted for multiple, like, a lot of different orchestras.
Okay.
So I don't know if, like, if he bounces around like that, do the instrumentalists. Yes. Do they also do that? Like,
maybe.
I wouldn't say that all of them are necessarily from Lancaster. Like, they could be from tons of different places. It could have just got done playing in one area and they were like, oh, we heard this orchestra is pretty good. Let's go here before we go to this next level or whatever.
Yeah.
But I was like, on one hand, like, Lancaster's not like a big, big city. You know, I wasn't expecting like much. Like, I know it's a small town orchestra. But I also was like, not quite sure how it could get better than that.
Right.
I was thinking about, like, even the concert master guy, the basically first chair on the violins. Yeah. Like, he got so, oh my word. I was kind of like annoyed till the end with him shaking hands with the conductor.
Yeah, there must be some sort of
single song. Yes, there was definitely like a, this is what's expected.
Right.
But I was like, okay, like, let's calm down on the theatrics a little bit here.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was watching him play compared to some of the other violinists play. And I'm like, it's probably like insulting to say this, but like, I don't know what the difference is. Like, if you're playing at that level,
right?
Like, you're amazing to me. It's like wine tasting, right? Like, it all tastes amazing. Right. I don't know, like, what
it all tastes bad.
Well,
but yeah.
You know what I mean. I cannot pick out one being better than the other.
Right.
I can see maybe like very slight differences in how they sit or where they hold their hand on the instrument or whatever. But like, the sound is all amazing. So what's really the difference?
But how many people do you know in life? How many people do you know? 1,000?
Let me count up this list.
1,000?
I have no idea.
out of the, all the people that you know, mm-hmm. can any of them play an orchestra instrument to that caliber?
Right. No.
None.
No.
Like, that's almost as impressive as solving a Rubik's Cube in under 30 seconds. Almost. But all the people that you know, none of them can play
right.
any of those instruments right. that well. Like, maybe we know somebody that can play piano that well.
Mm-hmm.
Piano is such a common instrument, yeah. I would yeah. say. Like, to, like, take...
Like, I'm struggling to think of... I cannot even think of a handful of people that I know that play an orchestra instrument.
Yeah, I mean...
Period. Like, whether... I don't know whether... Obviously not to that degree... Like, I don't know what right. their level of expertise is.
Yeah, I feel like in art... Like,
the Charles girls, I think, each play an orchestra instrument, and my niece.
Yeah. They're in high school.
Your niece.
Or shortly after high school.
Yeah, right. That's so what I mean. Like, but, like, even, yeah, like, I cannot think of many people who play a woodwind or string
right.
instrument.
But to be,
something
like,
that's not used outside of
right.
typical.
To be a 40-year-old guy... And I've stuck with the violin yes. for that long.
Yes.
That you're still performing at that level.
Exactly.
When I feel like you have so many other things you could
yeah.
worry about in life. And yet you're still sticking with that violin.
Yeah.
And it's just impressive to me.
Exactly.
That
yes.
like you can,
I think it's very cool.
Yeah.
That
I feel
dedication.
Like a lot of people do that stuff in high school
mm-hmm.
because it's like orchestra or band as like a class and a elective that you take.
Yeah.
And it's fun and you get to be with your friends. But then after that, like you feel like... I feel like we like see, oh, what's in that case? Oh, that's my cello. I'm like, oh, yeah. you play cello? Well, I did in high school.
yeah.
You know, like now I can yeah. play, you know, maybe something, but
yeah.
not like that.
Right.
So that was what was the most impressive to me.
Yeah.
Is that even in this small area that we live in, there's yeah. that many people that good
yes.
at those instruments. Like,
I agree.
I don't know if there's one or two times I'm like, oh, was that somebody messing up? But it's just like.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
I don't think at that level. I mean, like I said, it's a small town orchestra, but I don't think that there was any room for error in
right.
that. It seemed like a very well done
yeah.
Production.
And I was thinking, like, if this is this good,
right.
how much different is it to go to like a huge orchestra,
right.
like a hugely famous orchestra? Like, is it like that much better? Or is it just this is as good as mm-hmm. it gets, and these
right.
people are just that good?
Right, so. Right. That's yeah. That was exactly my thought too.
Yeah. But okay, so it was a really good time, good experience. I'm glad we went. Then we went
yeah.
out to eat afterwards, and it was fun.
Yeah,
we got to spend some time, and we talked about it for a while afterwards, which
yeah.
was fun. I even got to talk to some other people that were there about
mm-hmm.
it, and that was fun. I would like to. I think it's fun to bring people together that like have the
yeah.
same interests. You
yeah.
don't know the people. And you have little conversations about the
yeah,
music and
exactly.
Yeah, so
this 60-year-old guy I was sitting next to, him.
Right?
I was like, this is so cool. That, like, I mean, he said he's like, you know, this is my daughter's in band, and she
okay.
like Star Wars or whatever. I forget what it was. But like, you could tell that like he obviously had a connection with it too.
Right. Right.
Like, what are the chances? You know that
yeah.
it can bring people together. Like, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. So I definitely look at doing something like this again. I think it was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
So. Thank you.
We could get
for
so
the gift.
Fancy.
Yeah.
We're going to become fancy people.
We're going to the theater to see the orchestra play tonight. Let me get my fancy Crocs out. But yeah, so that was our experience. And anything else you want to add, Millie?
I don't think so.
Blessings to everybody in their new year.
Mm-hmm.
Keep your resolutions for a week or two. And thanks for listening. Be safe.
Be courteous.
Be courteous.
Bye.
Sorry.
See you later, alligator.